This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us. This episode 4 of our series, Back to Basics, Understanding the Essentials of Islam. Alhamdulillah. And we begin, of course, sending out our condolences, sending out our du'as for those who have passed away and their families that have left behind in the tragedy that was the massacre at the two masjids in Christchurch in New Zealand. It's coming up to be just about a week ago where these horrible events occurred. And I was in Australia at the time. You know, subhanAllah, we felt, along with the entire ummah, that pain. And throughout the whole ummah, so many Muslims, you know, were truly gutted. They felt this immense sadness for a people that they've never seen, for a place that they've never visited. Many of us might not even have known where Christchurch was. Some might not even know where New Zealand is on the map. But we felt such a sense of sadness. And this is, again, alhamdulillah, something which goes beyond what can be fully explained. Just the fact that we are one ummah, that we share this body. As the Prophet ﷺ says, the Muslim ummah is like one body, one brotherhood. That when one part of the ummah is hurt, one person in this ummah gets hurt, and the entire body feels, suffers from the pain, from the fever. And if you, like me, felt that sadness, and you felt, you know, deeply hurt by this event, then alhamdulillah, the one positive that we take from it is that, subhanallah, that your heart is still alive, there is still iman in the heart, and that feeling bad is actually a sign, a symptom that the heart is alive, alhamdulillah. And of course, we say, which will now, we relate to our topic, we were talking in the last episode about the existence of Allah. We talk about some refutations of atheist arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُسِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That whenever you are afflicted with a calamity, the thing that you say is, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily, from Allah we have come, and unto Him we return. That ultimately everything in life is temporary. Ultimately the origin of life is with Allah. And this life is the journey. Allah is the destination. Some of us, we reach the journey, the destination, very quickly. Our journey is very short. Others, we will live a longer life, and then ultimately we return to Allah. Our property, our money, everything is on loan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not just, it's not a dua, more so than it's words of comfort. It's meant to comfort you. You actually say these things so that you can feel happy, that your loved ones, they haven't disappeared. Your loved ones are still there, they are alive, and they are with Allah. And when you have a relationship of love with Allah, when you have a relationship of hope with Allah, when Allah is the most beloved to you, then to send your child, to send your mother back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His care, you feel comfortable, you feel at peace in your heart, that they are okay, they are actually better off than us. And this, subhanAllah, is something we say to our children, you know, when our kids are still too young to fully understand life and death. They ask, you know, what happened to their pet rabbit? We say to them, you know, Bunny has died, and Bunny has gone back to Allah. Allah is looking after Bunny. And so the child feels a sense of happiness, because they know in their innocent understanding of Allah, their pure taqwa, their pure relationship with Allah, is that Allah is good. And when the one I love goes back to Allah, Allah will look after those people. When we get older and our relationships maybe get strained, and because of our sins we become distant to Allah, it's harder for us to accept, except for those of us, of course, who have a deeper love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one may look at this, and an atheist may say to you, these people came to worship your God. They came to submit themselves as is required, and Allah allowed this to happen. Now, Allah is all-powerful, and on top of that, you say He's all-merciful. Why did He allow this to happen? He could have so easily made one of His angels stop this man from coming, and He could have, you know, caused this man to have a flat tire. He could have done so many things, but He allowed this to happen. And it's a famous statement amongst philosophers. They would say, when we see evil in the world, then either God is unable to stop it, and if He's unable to stop it, then He's not all-powerful, or secondly, He's unwilling to stop it. And if He's not willing to stop it, He's powerful enough to stop it, but He doesn't, then He's malevolent. He's actually quite, He's evil or indifferent to His creation. He doesn't care about His creation. So how do we answer this? Now, as I said before, yes, we do see evil in the world. We see horrible things happening. We see accidents and tragedies and calamities. How do we explain
Allah being there and Allah allowing this to happen? Well, one of the things is that, number one, first point is Allah has given mankind free will to choose good or to choose bad. And the fact that Allah has given us the free will, as the angels have the same question, Ya Allah, why are you putting people on earth, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, that they will ultimately shed blood, they will kill one another. You've given them free will to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is a reason, إِنِّي أَعْلَمَ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that there is a divine wisdom that you don't know. And of course, our wisdom, our rationality, our thinking is limited. We are bound by the constructs of this universe. There are limitations to what our wisdom can be. And subhanAllah, this is not something strange. It is something that we understand in terms of, you know, as a parent. A parent will tell you as a child, don't do this, don't do that. The wisdom of understanding why you might only realize as you mature, as you get older. So the full divine wisdom of Allah, why He created us, why He put us here, why He gave us free will. Those big kind of questions, even the Quran itself does not give all of Allah's divine wisdoms. That is a question which belongs to Allah. But for our purposes, we are given free will. And yes, one of the implications of free will is that people can choose to do evil. Now, as I said before, the evil exists whether you like it or not. And in a world where we see evil, if you're an atheist, now there's two realities here. The atheists believe that this was just a random act of hatred, that those people who died, they disappeared, and that's the end of the story. That those parents or those family members that will suffer for many, many years to come, and Allah make it easy for them, their suffering will come to nothing. Their suffering will mean nothing. Whereas we say that there must be a day of ultimate judgment. There has to be a day where the one who was not punished in this world, his day will come where he needs to be punished. And the one who suffered in this world, there must be a day of compensation. That if there's something inside of us, something innate in our human being, our fitrah, really, that there must be an ultimate justice. Now, for the one who doesn't believe in Allah and doesn't believe in a day of ultimate justice, so what makes more sense? Naturally, there has to be a day of reckoning, a day of justice. Also, you know, a point to note, if you are an atheist, and then you believe that there is no intrinsic value to life, you don't believe in a soul, you believe simply flesh and bone, that matter is just something which transfers. We are just made up of atoms. And, you know, once we die, those atoms become part of the earth and something else is formed out of it. We shouldn't really feel too bad about it, that life is just simply passing from one point to another. It has no greater meaning. It has no greater value. And that's what it is. Now, intuitively, even if an atheist says that logically, in reality, who believes that? We know that life has meaning and life has a purpose. And it's hard to accept that when someone dies, they just fully disappear and come to an end. Subhanallah. So that natural fitrah necessitates that there must be something, that there's more to life than just the flesh and bones, that there's a soul, and that soul continues after life. And some atheists may say, well, you're making up these fairy tales to make life easier for you. And that's the truth. In reality, the purpose and the strength of Allah, the belief in Allah, helps you get through these difficult days. It helps you give meaning to these hardships. It helps you make sense of the life that you live. If you didn't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you didn't have Allah and the one that you love just died, it's hard to accept that he died for no reason. It's hard to accept that a day of justice won't happen. The person that went through the Holocaust, they went through a genocide in Rwanda, to think it just was all without meaning, was indifference, wrong time, wrong place. It's impossible for us to live like that. Also, we believe in things like hope. We get to see now that people hope for something better. We see now people actually looking for forgiveness. We see people forgiving others. We see people coming together. So all these positive, we don't agree with what happened. And of course, we hate the event. But there are things that have come from the sadness that have brought so many people together. This shows you that even in calamity, that there's wisdom in that. That there is wisdom and a divine reason behind that. And ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge and ensure that those who should be held accountable, they will be held accountable. And those who have suffered, they will be compensated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe this, walhamdulillah. And you ask the victims, which reality would you rather live in? Obviously, we know which one. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we believe that these ones we love, they didn't disappear. They're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also make the point, some people will say that God created evil, and therefore, you know, you can't hold us accountable for our sins. Allah did not create evil. Allah created choice. Even Iblis, from our understanding, even Satan, he chooses whether to mislead others. He chooses to disobey Allah. The person that, you know, commits crimes, he has the choice. Allah does not create evil. Allah creates good, and Allah grants you the choice to live a good life or a bad life, and then will hold us accountable for the actions that you do. So it's very important for us to say there is no such thing as pure evil or created evil. Rather, there are choices, and the choices that we make can be evil, and therefore there are consequences to that. Another point to be made here in an argument that someone may say, you see, people going in, bombing churches, killing people in mosques, this is a symptom of religion, that if we stopped believing in God, we stopped having religions, we'll all live a much more peaceful life, we'll all be one community, and we wouldn't fight and kill one another. Now, we said this in the last episode, that most of the killings that are happening in this world has got nothing to do with religion. It's got to do with power, politics, money, whatever it might be. And even in this case, the ultimate motive or motivation wasn't Christianity against Islam. This was, in fact, this person doesn't even identify fully as a Christian and definitely not a practicing Christian. Rather, this is about race. And if you want to ban religion because of the evil that some religious people do in the name of their religion, so you want to ban a religion because some crazy people misuse or misunderstand the religion, then you should ban all races. Apartheid was done in the name of race. This killing was done in the name of race. You should ban, you know, all white males. You should ban, in fact, this person drove a car, so we should ban cars. We can see the silliness in this kind of thinking, that religion, like your vehicle, like weapons, like the internet, it can be used for good or for evil. And, you know, the majority of the people of this world of faith, whether you walk into a church on a Sunday, or into a synagogue on a Saturday, or into a mosque on a Friday, or into any other place of worship, you would find the message of that religion. 99.9 times being a message of peace and love, a message of helping and being good to your neighbor, you know, respecting life, caring for life, that there is an ultimate God, that you were created here for a purpose. And that is a message of goodness. You know, if we didn't have religion, without a doubt, we would find so much more killing, so much more violence. We live in a time where human life has become cheap. It's meaningless. People kill you for 5 rand in your pocket. And subhanAllah, if you really believed in a divine power, that this is a creation of the Creator, that this person was put here for a reason, and there's a day of judgment and reckoning, you would stop. You would think twice in what you were doing. In fact, I firmly believe that if people were more religious, we would have less fighting and less killing. We live in a time where Allah has become more and more irrelevant, and we see people committing all sorts of heinous and evil crimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. So this is a very clear fallacy, that if religion wasn't there, that we'd have less fighting. We see people don't need an excuse to kill one another. And religion is just a tool to preach hatred. And those who preach hatred in the name of any religion, whether it's in the name of Islam or any other religion, or even atheists, what you happen in communist countries, these are atheists in China, for example, it's not in the name of any kind of religion, but it's rather in terms of an identity, that they are harming millions and millions of Muslims. May Allah make it easy for our brothers and sisters. It's got nothing to do with religion. So we've spoken about a few, you know, questions, and a number of questions and arguments that atheists may arise, and some people have come and said, you know, the very famous argument, if you believe in Allah, we say, what evidence do you have? We say, well, the universe is the evidence, that if it wasn't for an Allah, then who created the universe? And then the next argument, if there's a hadith about this, the person will say, well, then who created Allah? And the Prophet, when you hear this, this is from Shaitan. But let's discuss that question. Someone will say, well, okay, you saying that because that there's a universe. And we know that the universe had a beginning. There was a big bang. You know, at some point the universe didn't exist, and then all of a sudden it came into existence. We know that it cannot create itself. We know that throughout the universe we haven't seen creation coming out of nothingness. So we believe that there was an external force. Someone outside of the universe made the universe. You know, like the someone outside of the cake baked the cake. So there's a baker and there's a cake. So now the next question is, well, if the cake was made, the universe was made, then who made the maker? Who made the maker? Now, if we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, you know, the creator was created, then we'll ask, well, who created that creator? And so on and so forth. For infinity, we'll keep asking this question. So we say that the one who created all of creation ultimately goes back to the one who is not created. I repeat that again. That we know that if there wasn't, very philosophically, that everything in existence, there had to be an original cause, one that caused this into creation, one that brought it into being. And behind that, there has to be someone who did not have an origin, someone that was not created. Because if that one had a creator, then who created him, and who created him, and so on and so forth. So we say, and already we understand, we're beginning to understand, of the attributes of Allah, is that we know for a fact that this creation has a finite beginning, and the one who created this creation was someone external outside of it who did not have a beginning, who is independent of his creation, who is independent of creation. This is actually the only logical thing to assert, because everything else is illogical. We know that the creation could not have made itself. We know that the creation could not have come from nothing. And we know that if the one who made it had a beginning, then he would have a creator. So therefore, the creator of all things should be without a beginning, without a start. And that's what makes him God. That's what makes him divine. Another logical fallacy. People will say, well, if God can do everything, can he create a rock so big that he can't lift it? If Allah, can Allah make a rock so massive and so heavy that he himself cannot lift it? Now, obviously, there's no answer to this, because if you say, yes, he can, because he's all powerful, then you say, ah, he's failed because he created something bigger than himself. How do we answer a question like this? In reality, the question is nonsense. It's nonsensical. So you can't get an answer. It's like me asking, can you create a circle with three sides? Or can you create a square that is round? You'll say such a thing is impossible or doesn't exist. The question is nonsense. Can you create an up that goes down? There is no answer. It's not even a question. We shouldn't ask irrational questions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer that you provide is not irrational. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said he can do everything, and there is nothing beyond his power or his control. We here on earth, or in this universe, we are bound by space and time and direction. Allah is not bound by these things. Allah, as we said, this is what makes him divine. This is when we begin to talk about the concept of God. It's about his ability transcends our ability. That we cannot apply our rationality and our universe upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's outside of it. As we, you know, in lillahi mathal ala, we don't give Allah examples. There's a difference between the cake and the baker. And what you see inside the cake is not the rules and the recipe and the restrictions. What's inside of the universe is not applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some, you know, logical fallacies or logical questions that are just really confusions and not really answers to anything, but just done to create doubts, and they are very easily dispelled. But in reality, the majority of the atheists we find, it isn't the case that they disbelieve in the Creator purely on a logical sense. Rather, it's an emotional rejection of Allah. It's like the person that says, I don't have a father. Now, obviously, he doesn't deny the existence of his father. He's saying, I don't have a relationship with my father. I don't want to know my father. I don't want to acknowledge him. And this is the reality with most atheists today. It's more a rejection on a spiritual level, even though they don't believe in spirituality, but rather it's an emotional rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something which is very dangerous, because we find in the world we live in a world where Allah has become more and more irrelevant. Many people, they live their life, even if they don't tick a box and say I'm an atheist, if you ask them, how much relevance does God have in your life? They'll say very, very little. I go to my work. When I'm sick, I go to the doctor. My salary comes in. When I'm hungry, I go to the shop. So I live a life which is almost completely absent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even those of us that are practicing in our religion, we can make salah 5 times a day, go to the mosque, and almost be on autopilot that we never even had a relationship with Allah. And the true essence of this religion, what is Islam all about? As we said, Islam is about your relationship with Allah. The relationship, like Nabi Ibrahim said, that whenever I'm in difficulty, the one I turn to, I don't need to go through an imam or a sheikh or a maulana or a hazrat or a kramat or an idol or a statue or a star or anything else. I don't need to go through any other creation. I go straight to the creator. This is what the beauty of our religion is. The religion of Islam is about you having a personal relationship with Allah, about you speaking to Allah, about you being connected to Allah throughout your life, and everything you do is about being connected to Allah. That is really what our religion is all about. And if you can accept that, so if you can accept that there is a creator, that there is an Allah, and that the most purest form of monotheism is that him and I, we have a direct link. Whenever I need anything, I can turn to him. He's constantly watching over me. I don't need to go through an intermediary. If that is what brings contentment to your heart, then that is La ilaha illallah. That is really what our religion is all about. And that is really the secret and the essence of Islam. To conclude, you might find someone that says, you know what, I believe in God, but I don't believe in a religion. It's usually called as agnosticism. And that's not really the true word. Agnostics are those who say, I don't know if there's a God. I don't say yes, I don't say no. I'm still undecided. That's true agnosticism. But people have used this to describe themselves as, I'm spiritual. Meaning, I believe in God. I believe in a soul. I believe that there's life after death. I believe in all these things because, as we said, the natural fitrah of man prohibits you from not believing in these things. So I don't accept true atheism. I believe there's more to life than what I see. But I don't believe in religion. Meaning I've looked at all the religions and none of them have impressed me or none of them resonate with me. Now there's a number of issues to mention on. Is this not okay? Does Islam not, what does Islam say about this? So we say that it's illogical to believe that. If you believe in God, then naturally the next step is, well, God would have then given us instructions in what to do. God wouldn't have just left us. God wouldn't have just deserted us. God created us and there's a reason. And he must tell us what that reason is. And he must show us the way. That is the responsibility of a God. And therefore, if you just believed whatever you want to believe, it's rather you just making up it as you go along. So you feel like, you know, people will tell me, I believe in God and I worship him. How do you worship him? Well, I meditate. I think I do whatever comes naturally to me. Well, in reality, you're just believing and following yourself. As Allah says, you have made your Hawa your God. You have made whatever you feel is good. Whatever is good for you, you've made that correct. And then what's good for me might be something different. And what might be good for someone else is something else. This cannot be the way we live. Rather, God has to, if he exists, he has to give us guidance. It's his responsibility and show us the way. Because as we said, the tools that we have, science, technology, our minds, our history, they are not ultimately definitive. They cannot ultimately show us where God is. We depend on revelation. So while we have rational thought and we have logic and we have intellect, and these are important tools, they are only tools, but we need a roadmap, we need a guidance, and that is revelation. And therefore you have to believe in a religion, and you have to be able to find a way to get to God. So agnosticism, where as I said, I'm a spiritual person, but I don't believe in a formal religion. Rather, the problem is not, it's not that God didn't give a religion. Maybe you haven't fully understood the religions of the earth. Or you see the people that practice that religion, they have not, you know, they have left you feeling uninspired. It is your responsibility, my responsibility, to actually explore the religions and look at what makes them true or false, what are their messages, and see using this intellect that Allah has given you. So Allah has now given you a mind, He has given you the ability, the tools to look for evidences, and then you find the truth. And that's why from an Islamic perspective, Allah began this Quran with Iqra, read. Use your mind and test Islam. Don't accept Islam blindly. Test it and see if this really came from a divine being. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you accept He's there, the next step for you is you have to believe He sent down revelation. Because it would be meaningless then for if He created us and He disappeared and He just left us to our own devices, then what was the purpose of all of this? So the next logical step is, well, if God exists, well, what does He want from me? And how do I know when I see hundreds of different religions, how do I know which one is true and which one is false? How do I determine the truth? And so we will look at, inshallah, in our next episode, what makes Islam true? How can I believe it? What evidence is there for the truth of Islam? And how do I know that this comes from God? And how should I follow it? Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. For any comments, concerns, questions, wish Muhammad@gmail.com. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.